This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, in today's session of Qareeb Mujib, we will be going over some du'as related to fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety is something that all people experience at some level. It doesn't matter how experienced a person may be, what their age is, what their level of piety is, what their level of faith is. The fact that we are human means that we will experience some level of fear, some level of anxiety. We see that the prophets of Allah, the prophets of Allah were the best of humanity. They were not only the most courageous men, but also men who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose faith was very, very strong. But still, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would experience fear. We learn about Musa alayhi salam, he felt fear. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was in danger. He also felt fear. So feeling fear, feeling anxiety is something that is part of being human. And it doesn't make a person, a less of a believer if they experience such feelings. However, we all know that feeling fear and anxiety is not a happy feeling. And it's not something that is pleasant. It can be something that is very...
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Okay, I'm just going to start again. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So inshallah, in today's session, we're talking about du'as related to fear and anxiety. Now, feeling fear and anxiety is something that is completely part of being human. It doesn't make a person any less of a believer if they experience fear and anxiety in their lives. Because we see that the prophets of Allah, alayhi wasalam, all of them experienced some level of fear, some level of anxiety in their lives. And the prophets of Allah were not only the strongest and the most courageous of men, they were also men who were very strong in their faith, in their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because they were human, there were times when they experienced fear and also anxiety. So for example, we learn about Musa alayhi salam, he felt afraid to go to Fir'aun. And then he felt afraid when the magicians, performed their magic. And that fear is mentioned in the Quran. We learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about how he also felt afraid. And in hadith, we learn that after the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims had to go and face the army again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they felt fear in their hearts. And likewise, we learn about Ibrahim alaihi salam. He also felt fear in his heart. So feeling fear and anxiety is something that is completely part of being human, but we all know that it is not a pleasant feeling. Meaning, when a person is feeling anxious and they're feeling afraid, this is not pleasant. You want to do something to come out of that state of fear and anxiety. And the thing is that majority of the time, the things that are causing us anxiety and fear are not in our control. And because they're not in our control, we're not able to change them. And so, if we're not able to remove the cause of the fear, how can we remove the fear? If we're not able to change the cause of our anxiety, how can we remove that anxiety? It's not always in our control. And it's not easy, to be told that, oh, stop feeling like this, don't feel like that, because your feelings also are not always in your control. So in situations where we feel anxious, where we feel worried and afraid, whether these fears are real or imaginary, because sometimes you are feeling afraid and the people around you are not feeling afraid. You are feeling anxious and the people around you don't think it's that big of a deal. So every person responds in a different way. So when we are feeling worried and anxious and afraid, what should we do? Of course, there are some thoughts that we need to change. Or some thoughts that we need to bring into our minds that we need to focus on. And at the same time, we also need to make dua. We also need to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the type of anxiety that I'm talking about is occasional anxiety, which is a normal part of life, not anxiety disorder or anything like that, because that, of course, needs its own kind of treatment. But even part of that treatment is what? That you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember that this life is a test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That we will indeed definitely test you with something of fear. We will for sure test you with something of fear and hunger and shortage of wealth and lives and fruits and give good news to those who believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising us over here that He will test us with fear. And fear. Why do people feel fear? Fear is because of violence. When you know that there is violence, when you know that there is you are at risk of becoming a victim of violence. Fear is because of poverty. When you are afraid that you don't have enough to feed yourself or your family with. The cause of fear can be war. The cause of fear can be abuse. The cause of fear can be danger or pain or disease, illness, treatment, surgery, childbirth. There are so many causes of fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises over here that He will test us with something of fear. And we will experience fear in our lives. In this world, there is khawf, a lot of khawf. But it is Jannah, the home where there is no khawf. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That we will test you with something of evil and something of good. Yani, in both ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us through things that frighten us and also things that make us happy. All of these things are a trial, and our return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains that this means that we will test you with hardship and ease. We will test you with health and disease, with wealth and poverty, with halal and haram, with obedience and disobedience, with guidance and misguidance. Subhanallah. And we see all of these things in worldly life, that we are tested with all of them. So the things that causes fear and anxiety, remember, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, in this life in order to test us. Fear and anxiety is there. Why? In order to test us. Test us in what way? That do we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Do we seek His help or not? Do we put our trust in Him or not? Do we rely on Him or not? Because in a state of fear and anxiety, a person feels weak. And in that state of weakness is our test. That do we think that we are self-sufficient? Al-ra'ahu staghna. Do we think that we are self-sufficient? We can do this on our own? Or do we turn to someone to help us? And who is that someone who we expect help from? Is it Allah Azza wa Jal, or is it غير الله? Is it someone other than Allah? So this is the test. It's a test of our faith. It's a test of our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our belief in tawheed, in the oneness of Allah. Do we begin to fear the cause more than we believe in the power of Allah? So for example, if it is illness or a certain disease that we are afraid of, then is our fear of that disease greater than our belief in the power of Allah? So remember that the things that cause us fear, they are a part of life, and they come into our lives by the permission of Allah. Why? In order to test us. That how do we respond? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has created us in a state that that we are weak. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We have been created weak, which means that we are not perfectly able to protect ourselves, to save ourselves, to even help ourselves. We need external help. So this is the test, that do we seek that help from Allah or not? Because life is about what? Ubudiyah, showing servitude to Allah. And if we were able to take care of ourselves in every situation, then majority of us would forget about Allah. We wouldn't bother to show servitude to Allah. We wouldn't bother to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a blessing of Allah on us that He has, first of all, created us weak, not perfect, all right? And secondly, He has created us in such a way that there are things that frighten us. And there are situations in which we feel anxious, afraid, and we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strengthen our faith in Allah, and we turn to Him for help. We learn in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Those to whom the hypocrite said, indeed the people have gathered against you, so fear them. But it merely increased them in faith. And they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs. So they returned with favor from Allah and bounty, no harm having touched them, and they pursued the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is the possessor of great bounty. That is only shaitan who frightens you of his supporters. So fear them not, but fear me if you are indeed believers. Now in these verses, we learn about an incident that occurred soon after the Battle of Uhud. Remember that the Battle of Uhud was a very hard time for the believers because their victory turned into sudden defeat. And there was a lot of loss and injury that the Muslims experienced. And soon after the battle, the believers had barely recovered, that somebody came to them and told them that Abu Sufyan and the mushrikeen of Mecca were basically coming back in order to attack the Muslims. And that this person, and he tried to frighten the Muslims a lot. But what happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that instead of feeling afraid, what happened to the believers? This news only increased them in faith. And they said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah, and what an excellent trustee He is. And instead of succumbing to fear, they increased in their faith and their courage when they put their trust in Allah. And they said words of tawakkul, words that showed that they put their trust in Allah. And as they increased in their courage and their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened? We learned that they went out of Medina in order to pursue the enemy. And when the enemy learned that the Muslims were approaching, they left, they returned. Because now the enemy felt afraid that if these Muslims who were supposed to be in a state of injury and weakness, if they are coming all the way to pursue us, to fight us, then they must have a lot of help. So we're not in a position to fight them, and the mushrikeen returned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that then the Muslims returned back to Medina, how? With favor from Allah, with the blessing from Allah and favor. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ, no harm touched them. The ulama say that the ni'mah over here, بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, ni'mah over here refers to the fact that they returned home safe and sound, and without having fought any battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And fadl, favor over here refers to the fact that they also earned so much reward from Allah. They didn't actually fight another battle. No, they just went, pursued the enemy. The enemy left, all right? And then they returned home, the Muslims returned home with great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ, no evil touched them. They didn't suffer anything at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. So they returned home, how? While having acquired benefits of the world and also eternal benefits in the hereafter, which is reward from Allah. So ni'mah is worldly blessing, and fadl is the blessing of the hereafter, the eternal reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them because of their responding to the call of Allah and His Messenger. And then, وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ, they pursued the great pleasure of Allah. They also received Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval, وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ, and Allah is a possessor of great favor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that was only shaitan who was trying to frighten you from his enemies. And really, there are times when shaitan makes us more afraid. Sometimes the danger is real, other times it is imaginary, or sometimes the danger is not as big as we think it is. We are way more afraid of the danger than we need to be. So this is from shaitan. Shaitan wants to frighten us, because when we are in a state of fear, we begin to panic. And we begin to lose faith. We begin to lose courage. Our faith in Allah decreases. So, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not fear them. Don't fear the friends of shaitan. Don't fall to the to the whispers of shaitan. وَخَافُونِ, instead fear me. And this teaches us something very important, that in a time of fear and anxiety, if we shift our focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I need to do that which pleases Allah. I need to put my faith in Allah. I need to fulfill my duty to Allah. So when you shift your focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are able to manage your feelings also. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you are truly believers. Now, in this incident, there are so many lessons for us, but the main thing we learn over here is that in a time when typically people are really afraid, the Sahaba, what happened to them? They only became more courageous. Instead of succumbing to their fears, they became more courageous. How? Because they said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. They said, Allah is enough for us, and what an excellent wakil Allah is. First of all, in this dua, in this statement, you put your trust in Allah. All right. First of all, you say, Hasbunallah, Allah is enough for us. Secondly, you praise and glorify Allah that wa ni'mal wakil, what an excellent wakil He is. Now, hasb is sufficiency. So when you say hasbunallah, Allah is enough for us, this means that Allah is enough for His slave with His power and with His greatness. How? Against what? Against everything that worries and frightens the slave. For example, if there is some disease or treatment of disease, for example, surgery, that frightens you. Yes, that is very scary. Very scary. You know that you will not be conscious at the time. You know that it will be very painful. You know that there are risks associated with surgery. And especially all of the, paperwork that you have to sign and all of the questions that you have to answer. You feel very afraid. So when you say hasbunallah, hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me, Allah is enough for us, what are you saying? You're saying that Allah is enough for me with His power and with His greatness. Against what? Against anything and everything that worries me, that frightens me, that Allah is able to give me shifa through this. Allah is able to keep me safe through this. Allah is able to protect me from any potential danger through this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power. He is able. He is great. Nothing is too difficult for Him. So Allah is enough for me. And hasbunallah, when you say that, this means that Allah is able to remove every danger that frightens you. He is able to repel every harm and any enemy that is trying to harm you, that is trying to hurt you. So hasbunallah. And then wa ni'mal wakil, you say, what an excellent wakil He is. Now, in these words, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is an excellent wakil. And wakil is guardian, caretaker, protector. You see, wakil is someone who is appointed to take care of your matters. So, for example, find yourself in a situation where you don't think you can manage that situation on your own. For example, if a person has to go to court, all right, they don't know the legal terms, they don't understand how the law works, they don't know how to defend themselves. So what will they do? They will get a lawyer, right? And they will explain their situation to their lawyer, and they will perhaps tell the lawyer that, you figure out how I am supposed to deal with this problem of mine. So you are relying on the lawyer, right? You are entrusting your affair to them. Sometimes, if a person is not in a position to make, proper decisions regarding their wealth, regarding their property, they will appoint a trustee, someone who will manage and judge and decide things related to their property. Sometimes you are out of town, you're not in the country. So you appoint someone that you have to manage my property, you have to take care of it, and you decide whatever that needs to be done. I trust you, right? I trust you. You do this. I am not able to manage this on my own. So this is wakil, right? Someone to whom you entrust your affair, all right? That you manage, you judge, you take care of it. And Khattabi says that wakil is a guarantor, meaning the one who guarantees, ensures the sustenance and benefits of his slaves. And Allah is al-wakil, so He is the one who is taking care of all of his creatures, he ensures that they have the sustenance they need, and he is looking out for their benefits. So he takes care of the entire creation, all of the worlds. He is the best protector, the best guardian. He guards the creatures by bestowing his favors on them, by planning for them, by guiding them, by decreeing in their favor. So remember that the one who puts his trust in Allah, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let them go waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not abandon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hand that slave over to anyone but himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will himself take care of that slave and the affairs of that slave. So hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Put your trust in Allah and say positive words like this in times of fear and anxiety. You see, when we receive news that is very upsetting, for example, someone has left us, or someone has turned against us, or you sense danger in your workplace, you sense danger in your community, you feel that people are not there to support you, people are not doing what they should be doing, and you feel sometimes you feel a sense of abandonment. And you feel like you have to take care of, or you have to manage all of your problems on your own. Say the statement. You don't have to manage that mountain of a problem on your own, because you don't have that capacity. You were not built for that. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. You were not built to take care of that huge problem on your own. You have Allah. So don't put your faith in yourself. Put your faith in Allah. That Allah is enough for me, because with His power, with His might, He is able to take care of my little problem, right? For me, it's massive. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this problem is very, very, very minuscule, tiny. He can just say, kun, and my problem will be solved. So, at times we increase in our fear and anxiety. Why? Because we falsely believe that we have to manage our problems on our own. And this is completely false. You don't have to manage everything on your own. You're not expected to. You were not built to do that. You were built to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your faith in Allah. Accomplish your goals and repel any harm with the help of Allah. And you see, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That in battle, when you shot the enemy, all right, and you hit the target, it's not you who did that. It is Allah who did that. And your job is just to show up and shoot the shot. All right. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's role to ensure that it reaches the target and that the goal is achieved. So your job, remember, is to show submission to Allah and to show up. Well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in any test, in any trial, and to put your faith, confidence, trust in Allah, and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. So look at this example in Surah Ali Imran, that after the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims had to go and pursue the enemy again, that's what they did. They just went and pursued the enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of the rest of the matter. So they returned, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. SubhanAllah, they returned completely safe and sound, with no wounds, no injuries, all right? They didn't suffer anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. And they didn't just return home safe and sound, they also received worldly and religious benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bestowed them with great rewards. So remember that the tests in your life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in, the goal is not to see how strong you are, what you are made of. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows how strong you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you a certain way, so He knows you better than you know yourself. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in trials, in tests, is to see how and if we turn to Him. That's the real goal. That's the real purpose of tests, that do we turn to Allah or not? And how strongly do we hold on to Him? How strongly do we seek His help? Because, you know, for example, if there is a business, you know, the loss of which frightens you, well, that business is not going to last forever anyway. If there is some disease, some, you know, illness that scares you, that frightens you, well, your body is not meant to live in this world forever anyway. If there is some kind of, danger like war or anything like that, violence, abuse that frightens you, well, you were not meant to live in this world forever anyway. So our goal should not just be to survive in this life or to ensure that, our work survives. No, our goal through these trials should be to draw closer and closer and closer to Allah. Because business, health, security, all of these things are things of the world. And yes, they are dear to us. But remember, they are only a means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. The real home is the home of paradise. This place is temporary, and everything about it, everything in it, is temporary. So don't forget the real purpose of trials, which is to draw closer to Allah, which is to seek His help. And then we see that the companions, they earned the approval of Allah through this trial. And the key lesson over here is that we learn the words Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, that when we have a fear that, you know, for example, people may abandon us, or we are afraid about our relationships, we are afraid about our children, we are afraid about our wealth, our security, whatever that frightens us, anything, you know, that frightens us, say Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. This dua is huge. It's incredibly, it's a very heavy statement, because the words in this dua are very true. Through these words, you are putting your trust entirely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who is truthful in seeking refuge with Allah and putting their trust in Allah, then Allah will be enough for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of their matters in the world and in the hereafter. And when you say Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, you are declaring your independence from the creation and your complete dependence on the Creator. Because Hasbunallah, Allah is enough for us. What are you saying? It is only Allah who is enough for me. Not my own planning, not my own power, not the health system in of the country that I live in. No, Allah is enough for me. So these words are very beneficial. And we see that when the companions said these words, they returned home safe and sound. They earned reward. They, according to some narrations, we learned that instead of engaging in battle, they ended up engaging in some business and some trade. So they returned home with wealth, and they returned home with joy and happiness. They left with fear, but they returned home in a state where they were completely free of fear. So these words, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, these words, we are supposed to say them mainly at two occasions. The first is when we receive a favor from Allah. Any blessing, when we receive that, we should say Hasbunallah. Because the thing is that when we receive, for example, money or some kind of news, a health report, anything, where there is some good news in it, we still have some kind of fear and apprehension that maybe this is not enough. I was expecting more, right? So in the Quran, we learn that وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ سيؤتينا الله من فضله ورسوله إنا إلى الله راغبون. يعني that would have been better for them if they had said, if they were pleased with what Allah and His Messenger gave them, and if they had said, Allah is enough for us, Allah will give us from His favor, then this response would have been better. So this shows us that when we receive something from Allah, whatever it may be, we should say, Hasbunallah, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Secondly, we should say Hasbunallah in order to repel harm. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that the words Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil were said by Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown in the fire. When his people threw him in the fire, he said these words. And what happened? Allah was enough for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that fire coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. His people had tried to harm him, but Ibrahim alayhi salam was unharmed because Allah protected him. Because Allah is enough for his slave. His power, his planning is greater than the power and planning of the creation. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said these words when he was thrown in the fire. And he said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said this statement when the hypocrite said that إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ, that the people have gathered to attack you, so be afraid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said these words, حَسْبُنَاللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was enough for him. So, you know, if, for example, your work is such that, you know, you have to deal with a lot of scary news, every now and then you receive an email or a report or something that scares you, that frightens you, make sure you write this dua down, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, and put it somewhere where you can see it so you can say it over and over and over again. You know, for example, some people, their job is such that basically they're always putting out fires, or they have to deal with a lot of scary news. They work behind the scenes. They have to, for example, manage the money. That's not always easy. So some people, mashallah, they have, you know, they don't take their work too personally. And they're able to deal with, scary news. And other people, they take matters very personally. And everything tends to, you know, frighten them, scare them, make them anxious. So if you are like that, that you get anxious and afraid very quickly, or you have your work is, you know, the nature of your work is such that, you know, you're always feeling anxious and afraid, then you need to increase in saying Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is enough for us. I am not enough for me. My planning is not enough for us. No, it is Allah who is enough for us, because His planning is the best. His power is complete and perfect. He is able to give me what I am in need of. He is able to protect me from what I fear. Hasbunallah. I was not built to manage this on my own. I was built to rely upon Allah. Hasbunallah. Wa ni'mal wakil. What an excellent trustee He is. He is the best one to put my trust in. Therefore, I'm not going to put my trust in myself or anybody else. I'm going to put my trust in Allah. Wa ni'mal wakil. And the words ni'mal wakil, as I mentioned earlier, these words are of hamd. You are praising Allah over here. Another dua we should say in a time of fear and anxiety is the dua in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ, that if they turn away, then you should say, sufficient for me is Allah, there is no God worthy of worship except Him, on Him I put my trust, and He is the Lord of the great throne. This dua is also very beautiful, because Allah Azza wa Jal is telling His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what you should say. فَقُلْ, You should say this. Allah is teaching this dua to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So how blessed is this dua? We also need to say this. And especially, when is he told to say this? In tawallaw, if they turn away. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, he was sent as a messenger to invite people to the truth, to guidance, to Sirat al-Mustaqim, to save them. But if people still turn away, then how should you deal with that? This is not your failure. No, if they turn away, this is their loss. And if they turn away, this is not a waste of your efforts. No, if they turn away, then you should say, Hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. Allah is enough for me. He knows my efforts. He will reward me for my efforts. And if you abandon me, Allah is there to protect me. If you turn away and turn against me, Allah is there to save me, to protect me, to guard me. So, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, especially when you feel alone in your trials, when you feel abandoned by people, people who should have been there, people who should have been, you know, with you, but still they abandoned you. At such a time especially, you should say, Hasbi Allah, sufficient for me is Allah. La ilaha illa hu, there is no God worthy of worship but Him. Alayhi tawakkaltu, on Him I put my trust, and He is the Lord of the Great Throne. Why do you say over here that Allah is the Lord of the Great Throne? Of course He is, but how is this relevant to putting your trust in Allah? Because the arsh, remember, it is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of that creation, okay, al-arsh al-azim, and He owns that, then what is smaller than the arsh, all right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over that also, right? If the biggest creation belongs to Allah, then what I fear, what is causing me fear and anxiety, also belongs to Allah, because it is certainly smaller and less than His throne. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to help me in my fear, in the danger that I find myself in. Now, this dua, of course, we can say this at a time when we're feeling anxious and afraid, especially when we feel abandoned and alone in our difficulty. But we learned that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that whoever says Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illa hu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim 7 times in the morning and in the evening, then Allah will suffice him against all his worries. And if a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, that you say this dua 7 times in the morning, 7 times in the evening, and Allah will suffice you against all your worries, then this is true, because companions did not make up the deen. No, they only transmitted what they learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should also say this 7 times in the morning, 7 times in the evening, and especially, you know, at times when life is so unpredictable, you know, when everything is just turned upside down, when nothing seems to be reliable, right? You don't know, you know, the stability that we had, you know, is perhaps not there anymore. And that could be for various reasons. It could be because of, you know, loss of income. It could be because of loss of family members. It could be because of, you know, for example, disease, anything because of which we feel unstable and insecure. We need to increase, you know, saying this Hasbi Allah, so that we remind ourselves that I have Allah. Allah is there to protect me. Allah is there to help me. So anything that worries you, whether it is a worldly concern or anything of the deen also, for example, there is a religious obligation that you are not able to fulfill on your own, and you are afraid, again, say this, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim, and adopt the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and also put your trust in Allah. Say these words. And it's important that we say these words, because you know, when you say positive words and you make yourself hear those positive words coming out of your mouth, then you are putting yourself in a positive cycle, right? You are inspiring positive thoughts in yourself. But when you stay silent, or when you say negative words, then you are letting your negative thoughts control you, and you are allowing shaitan to fill that void. So don't allow shaitan to weaken you, to threaten you, to frighten you. Repel that noise with the words of dhikr, with the words of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. And you see, la ilaha illahu, you are declaring the oneness of Allah, the perfect power of Allah. And you are putting your, you are declaring your complete trust in Allah. And tawakkul, alayhi tawakkaltu, on him I put my trust. Remember that tawakkul is to admit your weakness, okay? To admit your weakness in regard to a matter. Any, you admit that I am not able to do this on my own. I am not able to take care of this on my own. I know that the means that I have at my disposal are not enough. Okay? They are imperfect. They are incomplete. And I need external help. I need the help of the one who is able to do all things. I need the help of the one who is perfect in his power, in his knowledge, in his planning, the one who does not make mistakes, the one who knows everything, the one who is able to protect me. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the tawakkul, that you admit your weakness in spite or along with your means, in spite of your means or along with your means. And you know that you are weak, your plan is weak, it is not perfect. And you put your trust in Allah, that Allah will ensure my safety. Allah will ensure that I am able to accomplish my goal, that He is able to bring me the benefit that I desire, and He is able to repel the harm that I am trying to avoid. So this is the essence of tawakkul, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tawakkul is not contrary to adopting means. No, part of tawakkul is that you adopt the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Tawakkul is not just something you do when you cannot do anything on your own. So for example, you cannot find a way to pay off a loan, so you say, I put my trust in Allah. You must have tawakkul even when you have the means. When you have a plan in place, whether you have a solid plan or a weak plan or no plan, no matter what your situation is, tawakkul is always relevant. And it is through tawakkul that we are able to achieve the benefits that we desire and repel the harms that we are trying to avoid. And tawakkul is that you have good positive thoughts about Allah, that Allah is there. He will not abandon me. He will ensure my safety. And tawakkul is that you have belief in the promise of Allah, that He will protect. He is enough. One of the scholars said that putting your trust in Allah, yani tawakkul, this is an obligation. It is an obligation from and it is from the major obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on us. And he said that it is greater, yani it is more important than the command to make wudu or take a bath of janaba. Subhanallah. Why? Because how many times in the Quran has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to make wudu for salah? And how many times has He commanded us to take a bath of janaba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to put our trust in Him more than He has commanded us to make wudu and take a bath. Subhanallah. Yani وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون فليتوكل المتوكلون فعلى الله توكلوا. Yani this command is repeated more than the command to make wudu in the Quran. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, yani, He has forbidden us from putting our trust in anyone other than Him, Azza wa Jal. So tawakkul is essential. It is an obligation on us. It is part of our iman in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put his trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers that they should put their trust in Allah. It is part of being Muslim. فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُسْلِمِينَ. Put your trust in Allah if you're truly Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from putting our faith in someone else. أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِي وَكِيلًا. Do not take anyone other than me as wakil. Because remember that everyone besides Allah is weak. And we should put our trust in Allah in regard to every matter, big or small. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you have made your decision, then put your trust in Allah. So whether it is the decision to go out and do some errands, or to hire someone, or to apply for a job, or to take a job, you know, whatever it is, a big thing or a small issue, put your trust in Allah, not in your plan, not in your car, not in your money, not in your time, not in your ability, not in your friends, not in your co-workers, not in your team, not on the internet, not on the computer, not in technology. All of these things are means. They are not the source of our help or of completing our tasks or goals. They are means. So put your trust in Allah in regard to every matter. And when something bothers you, something makes you sad or anxious, remind yourself, Allah is there. When there is fear, remind yourself, Allah is there. Put your trust in Allah. And no matter what issue it is, we learn that even for the fitna of Dajjal, all right, for the fitna of Dajjal, we are taught that we should put our trust in Allah. Subhanallah. We learn that when the Dajjal will appear, he will say, Ana Rabbukum, I am your Lord. And he will declare that he is God. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that we should say, Lasta Rabbana, lakinna Rabbana Allah, alayhi tawakkalna, wa ilayhi anabna, na'udhu billahi min sharrik. So we should say that you are not our Lord, meaning the Dajjal, you are not our God, but our God is Allah. On Him we put our trust. To Him we return, and we seek refuge with Allah against your evil. So imagine, in the face of the fitna of the Dajjal, which is the greatest fitna, the greatest trial that humanity has ever witnessed or experienced, the fitna of the Dajjal is the biggest, the worst fitna ever. In the face of that fitna, in the face of that danger, we are taught to say, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. On Allah we put our trust. So then, any other trial that we experience in our lives, any other thing that frightens us, that makes us anxious, remember that it is less than the fitna of the Dajjal. So if for the greatest fitna we are taught to say, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, then anything that is less than that greater fitna, we should say, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. You see, when you put your trust in Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah loves those people who put their trust in Allah. Because when you put your trust in Allah, this is a way of drawing close to Allah. This is a way of seeking help from Allah. This is a way of purifying your tawheed. So you are taking steps to draw close to Allah. And Allah loves His slaves who draw close to Him. When you put your trust in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is enough. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah is sufficient as wakil, as the one who takes care of the affairs of his slaves. When you put your trust in Allah, then you don't need anyone else's help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you self-sufficiency. Or rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you sufficiency because you have Allah. When you have tawakkul in Allah, you become more courageous. You become brave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees you from fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you against shaitan. Then any superstitious beliefs that you may have go away. And the fear of the creation also goes away. And for tawakkul is huge, huge reward in the hereafter. We learn that Jannah is also a reward for who? For those who are patient, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and who put their trust in Allah, in their Lord. So learn to put your trust in Allah in the face of fear and anxiety, anything that causes you fear, anxiety. Remind yourself, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. Repeat the statement when you feel anxious, when you feel afraid. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبِي اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Another dua we can say is, رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. That our Lord, on you we put our trust. To you we return. And to you is our final destination. We put our trust in you. You see, this is a dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam and those who believed in him made, that especially when you are harmed by your closest ones, when you are abandoned by your closest ones, people who were supposed to be with you turn against you. This is such a vulnerable position. And it happens, with individuals where they are kicked out of their homes, or they are fired from their job for no good reason. And now they're left without an income, without any security in their lives. So put your trust in Allah. رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا. To you we return. We seek help from you. We repent to you. We seek forgiveness from you. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. To you is the ultimate destination. So you protect us. Another dua we should say, Allahu Allahu Rabbi La Sharika La. Allah, Allah, my Lord, He has no partner at all. In a hadith we learn that kana idha ra'ahu shay'un, that when something frightened the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and something worried him, then he would say, Allahu Allahu Rabbi La Sharika La. Allah, Allah, my Lord, He has no partner at all. Another dua we should say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. And when something frightens you, then especially say these words, that I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah from the evil of what He has created. We learn in a hadith that when a person is traveling and they stop somewhere, whether it is to stay for some time or to rest overnight, or for example, you stop at a hotel, for instance, you are driving and you stop at a store, anything like that, you should say at that time, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. Then anything that is harmful or dangerous in that place will not harm the person until he leaves from there. And for the entire duration that you are in that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. And sometimes it happens that, for example, you enter into a hotel room and, you think, oh, maybe there's jinn over here, shayateen over here, maybe there's a snake under the bed, or some bed bugs, or spiders, or something, whatever that frightens us, anything that frightens us, say this dua, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. And these days especially, for example, you enter into a closed space, you enter a restaurant, a store, doctor's office, anything. And you are afraid, that what if there's someone who has the virus? And what if it's lingering in the air? And what if I inhale it? And what if I get infected? What if it's on the door handle and it gets on my hand? Or maybe it's on the chair. Maybe it's in the food. You don't always see the dangers, right? Sometimes you can see things that are dangerous to you, and other times you cannot see them. You cannot. It's not possible. So you ask Allah that, Ya Allah, you protect me. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق, from the evil of what He has created. Because everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, many things in this world are such that there is benefit in them. And there's also something evil, or something that could potentially be evil for you. Not that it is created as pure evil, no, but it could be harmful for you. So for example, a knife is very beneficial, right? A sharp knife especially is very useful. In fact, it is safer to use a sharp knife than a blunt knife, right? Why? Because a sharp knife will cut quickly, properly, and so it's safer. But at the same time, a sharp knife can also be very, very dangerous. So there is benefit, there is khair, and there is shar. So anything that frightens you, whether it is chopping food in the kitchen, all right, or it is driving, because of course, if you're driving, now it's possible that you end up in an accident. These things can happen. There is shar. So you ask Allah that, Ya Allah, you protect me from the evil. Any evil, big or small, whether I know of it or I don't know of it. I can see it, I can't see it. Whatever it is, Ya Allah, you protect me. I am not able to protect myself. And really, we are not able to. How much can we do to shelter ourselves? It's not in our capacity. It's not. So it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can guard us, who can protect us. So ask Allah to do that for you. Another dua we should make. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من غضبه وشر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach these words to the companions. These words that they should say them in a state of fazar, in a state of fear and panic and worry. We learned that Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he would teach these words to his children. And as soon as his children were able to, man aqala, they were able to understand. So for example, 3-year-old child, 4-year-old child, 5-year-old, he would teach these words to his children, that say these words when you are feeling afraid. And sometimes, children, they can get very afraid of bugs, of darkness, of certain sounds, certain things. So teach these words to your children. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة. I seek refuge in Allah's perfect words. من غضبه, from His anger. وشر عباده, from the evil of His servants. ومن همزات الشياطين, from the evil suggestions of the devils. وأن يحضرون, and from their presence even. Because sometimes, the fear that we feel, whether it is of darkness or bugs or things like that, this is purely the result of shaitan's whispers, right? Or the fear of abandonment, fear that my husband doesn't love me, or that he will leave me, or this will happen, that will happen. A lot of times we develop these fears because of the whispers of shaitan. So ask Allah to protect you from the whispers of shaitan also, from the presence of shaitan. Sometimes jinn, literally, they will bother people. They will try to frighten them. So at that time also, seek refuge with Allah. Another dua we should make, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات التي لا يجاوزهن بر ولا فاجر من شر ما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها ومن شر فتن الليل والنهار ومن كل طارق إلا طارقا يطرق بخير يا رحمن. خالد بن وليد رضي الله عنه, he said that he used to get frightened in the night. Can you imagine? Khalid bin Walid is a warrior. Okay? He was a warrior. He was someone who fought in battle. He was very courageous, very brave. But still, there were times when he would get afraid in the night. And he would get nightmares. He would get scared in his sleep. So this is part of being human, you know, where you have certain strengths, you also have certain weaknesses. And you're not an evil person. You're not a loser if you have these weaknesses. This is all part of being human. So Khalid bin Walid, he said that I used to get afraid in the night. So I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I told him that at times I get afraid in the night and I grab my sword. You know, for example, he would sense this fear that maybe there's someone coming or someone is there who's going to harm me. So he would grab his sword as if ready to fight something that's coming towards him to harm him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that shall I not teach you words which Ar-Ruhul Amin taught me, meaning Jibreel taught me? And these are the words that I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah, which neither the upright nor the corrupt can overcome. From the evil of what descends from the sky and of what rises up to it, and from the evil trials of night and day, and from the evil of every night visitor, except the night visitor who comes with good. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he began saying these words. So if, for example, you know, you get nightmares or your child gets nightmares, then make a point to learn this dua. Maybe write it down, put it next to your bed so that you can say it when you feel afraid, and your fear, inshallah, will go away. And here, you know, you see in these du'as, you're seeking refuge in the perfect words of Allah. And the perfect words of Allah, you see, Allah's words are very powerful. Imagine Allah says, kun, and it happens. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and he created Isa alayhi salam with what? With his kalima, with kalima kun. Which is why Isa alayhi salam is called kalimatun min Allah, a word from Allah, because he was created by the word of Allah. So Allah's words are powerful, and Allah's words include both the words of his decree and the words of his sharia, yani the Quran. So his words are perfectly powerful. Then you say that, Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you. Against what? Any evil that can come down from the sky, any evil that goes up into the sky, any evil of the night or the day, and any evil of a night visitor. Tariq is a night visitor, or any incident that occurs in the night. And you see, sometimes you are in bed about to fall asleep, and all of a sudden you have this fear. Did I close all the windows? Did I lock the front door? Is the back window closed? Right? What if there's somebody outside? And now that we have put cameras everywhere and sensors everywhere and things like that, you need that worries us even more. Subhanallah, because then we're always checking, is this locked or not? Is there somebody outside or not? So any incident that can occur in the night that could be potentially dangerous for me, Ya Allah, you protect me from that. Another dua we should make, especially in a state of, you know, worry. Allahumma anta adudi wa nasiri, bika ahulu wa bika asulu wa bika uqatil. That, O Allah, you are my strength and you are my support. For your sake I go forth, and for your sake I advance, and for your sake I fight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say these words when he would go to a battle. Now this is so amazing. You know, sometimes you're going to face something that literally feels like a battle. So say these words, that Ya Rab, anta adudi. You see, adud is, you know, the upper arm. Okay, so you are my strength. You are my support. With your help, I go forth. With your help, I can reach. With your help, I can fight. Not on my own. It is only with you, with your help and support. Then another dua we should make is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhira. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي. This is actually a dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say in the morning and in the evening. So we should also make a habit to say this in the morning before the sun rises and in the evening before the sun sets. What does this dua mean? O Allah, I seek your forgiveness and your protection in this world and in the next. Some people have immense fear of the hereafter. And that fear is paralyzing. They don't want to hear about matters of the hereafter. They don't want to think about it because the moment they start thinking about it, they get filled with fear. Sometimes you see this kind of response in children or sometimes certain individuals are very afraid of Allah. There's more fear than hope. That is also not correct. There should be both fear and hope. Fear should not be paralyzing. And if it is like that, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. So, Ya Allah, I seek your forgiveness and your protection in this world and the next. O Allah, I seek your forgiveness and your protection in my religion, in my worldly affairs, in my family, and in my wealth. O Allah, conceal my secrets, meaning the wrong things that I have done, Ya Allah, conceal them. And preserve me from anguish. Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. Amir rawati. And the anguish, the worry, the anxiety that I feel in my heart, Ya Allah, you calm that. You save me. And O Allah, guard me from what is in front of me and behind me, from my left and from my right, from above me. I seek refuge in your greatness from being struck down from beneath me. Because this is where danger comes from, right? From any of the directions, front, back, right, left, up, down. So Ya Allah, you protect me from all directions. And the anxiety that I have in my heart, Ya Allah, you calm that for me. And we learned that, at the Battle of Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ and the hearts were reaching up to the throats. The Muslims were so afraid. The companions were so anxious. They were terrified. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that teach us something that we can say. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them this dua. Allahumma astur awratina wa amir rawatina. That, O Allah, conceal our weak points and calm our worries, our anxieties. Because in a state of anxiety, there is a physiological change in the body too. For example, increased heartbeat, or a person begins to sweat, a person begins to tense up their muscles. And, there are times when anxiety gets out of control. So a person has a panic attack, and then a person can eventually develop an anxiety disorder also, where there doesn't need to be a cause for anxiety. A person just feels extreme anxiety, and it's uncontrollable. It's not manageable, and that is so difficult to manage. So Allahumma astur awratina wa amir rawatina. Another dua we can say, Allahumma laka aslamtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa ilayka anabtu, wa bika khasamtu. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi izzatika la ilaha illa anta, an tudillani, anta al-hayyu alladhi la yamut, wal jinnu wal insu yamutun. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua, that, O Allah, to you I have submitted, in you I believe, in you I put my trust, to you I turn, for you I have argued, or with your help I argue. O Allah, I seek refuge with you through your power. There is none worthy of worship except you alone, that you safeguard me against going astray. Sometimes we have this fear, that what if I go astray? What if I end up in hell? What if the blessing of Islam is taken away from me? So you ask Allah, Ya Allah, you protect me from going astray. You are the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists, the one who never dies, whereas human beings and jinn will all die. Everyone will die except for you, Ya Rab. So you protect me. Another dua we can make is Allahumma laka aslamtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ilayka anabtu wa bika khasamtu wa ilayka hakamtu faghfir li ma qaddamtu wa akhartu wa asrartu wa a'lantu anta ilahi la ilaha illa anta. Very similar to the previous dua, the difference is that we also say that it is your judgment that I seek, so you forgive me for what I have done, what I have delayed, what I have done secretly or openly. You are my God. There is no God but you. We learn in hadith that the Prophet ﷺ would also say this dua. Because in this dua are the words, وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ, on you I put my trust. Another dua, Allahu Akbar, Allahu A'azzu min khalqihi jami'a, Allahu A'azzu mimma akhafu wa ahdhar. Allah is the greatest. Allah is mightier than all of his creation combined. Allah is mightier than what I fear and what I am cautious of, what I'm trying to avoid. A'udhu billahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. I seek refuge in Allah, the one besides whom there is no God. Al-mumsiku as-samawati as-sab'i an yaqa'na 'ala al-ardi illa bi'idni. He is the one who is holding the seven heavens from falling down on the earth except by his permission. من شر عبدك فلان وجنوده وأتباعه وأشياعه من الجن والإنس. That, O Allah, I seek refuge with you against your slave, so-and-so. And you can mention the name of that person that you are terribly afraid of, whoever that person may be. That, Ya Allah, you protect me from this person's evil. His evil and the evil of وَجُنُودِهِ, his forces. Because you see, there are certain individuals who are trying to harm you, and they're not alone in trying to harm you. They have gathered up armies to harm you. So, Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you against your slave, so-and-so, and his armies, and his followers, and his supporters, whether they are from the jinn or the men. Because sometimes there's this fear that, you know, so-and-so has done magic, or they're using the power of magic against me. So ask Allah to protect you against that. Allahumma kulli jaran min sharrihim. O Allah, you be my protector against their evil. Jalla thana'uka wa 'azza jaruka wa tabaraka ismuka wa la ilaha ghayruk. That your praise is great, your protection is immense. Blessed is your name. There is no God but you. We learned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that when you go to an oppressive ruler, and you are afraid that he will try to overcome you, he will try to harm you, then you say this dua three times. So say this dua when you feel afraid of certain individuals. One last thing, increase in tasbih. Yani if you feel that in general you are an anxious person, or you are increasing in your anxiety and you wonder what's happening to me. I was never so anxious before. Why do I feel anxious all the time? Why do I feel afraid? And you see you know, these changes in your life, that you were very bold, courageous, you know, things did not bother you. But now every email causes you to become anxious, right? Or, you know, anything causes you to feel afraid, you then increase in saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, or Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Because in a hadith we learn that if someone is afraid to spend their wealth, or they're afraid of an enemy, or they're afraid of struggling in the way of Allah, or the darkness of the night frightens him, then this person should increase in saying these words. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. And you increase in tasbih, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will calm your heart. He will calm your fears. He will grant you courage. And when you glorify and praise Allah, you're shifting your focus away from what frightens you to the power and perfection, the greatness of Allah. So that you can know that Allah is enough for you against anything that frightens you. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.